Hello, everyone. We're going to go ahead and get started. My name is Katie Lenham. I am the president of IABS, which is the Illinois Association of Blind Students. I am going to school in Southern Illinois University, Edwardsville, studying actuarial science. So I just want to start the lunch by kind of giving a little overview about what IABS is. So it is the student chapter of the Illinois, and it's also the Illinois chapter of NABS, the National Association of Blind Students. We have a NABS rep here, Luke. He's from Kansas. We have the student lunch. We had IABS Idol last night, which was a very successful event. It's one of our biggest fundraiser events that we do. We also do the student lunch portion of state convention, and we also do, we have the IABS business meeting, which is tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. We also do, besides state convention, we do a student seminar, which is in April, and that is a Saturday where we discuss a lot of different student issues. We did like some stuff about extracurricular, living in dorms for college for the first time. It's just some of the topics. We've done judo and yoga, so a little bit interactive sessions. Mock interviews was very successful this year. And we also are thinking about doing a student social tomorrow. If anyone is interested, you should let me know or let Amy Bosco know. We are thinking if we have enough people interested tomorrow about 1-ish at Giordano's in Naperville. So if anyone's interested, it doesn't cost anything. Just come, order some food, hang out. If you're not a student, you're more than welcome to come. Parents, if you want to come with your kids, they can interact with older blind mentors or students. If you have questions about how we do college or anything, that'd be a good time to ask if you would like to come and just kind of hang out. A lot of people ask how to get involved in IABS. It's really easy. We have $5 dues, which were part of the registration, or you can pay tomorrow morning or any of us now, any members of IABS. We have monthly conference calls normally on Sunday nights at 7 p.m. on the second Sunday of each month. And you can call in. Anyone is welcome. If you're on the board, if you're just a member, if you're interested in student issues, you want to just call in for a meeting and see how it goes, we are more than welcome for you to call in. It's super easy. You don't have to like do anything crazy. You can just call in a couple times if you want, or you can be super involved, help plan student seminar and IABS Idol and stuff. If you are interested, we have elections tomorrow morning at our business meeting for the board, and you don't have to be like super, you don't have to have been involved before if you're interested in running for the board. I encourage all the scholarship winners to, if you're interested, to become very involved in IABS. I was a scholarship winner in 2012 and now I'm president, and I have gained a lot of knowledge and information from being involved in IABS. If anyone has any other questions about IABS in general or anything. We also are doing a 50-50 raffle. I've mentioned this several times. We're selling raffle tickets, one ticket for $2, three tickets for $5, and it is a 50-50 raffle. We're drawing tonight at Banquet, and half of the money goes to the winner and half the money goes to IABS to help do things like the student seminar, have NABS reps come out, and things like that. So again, if you have any questions, you can let me know, any of the other IABS members know. We're more than happy to talk to you about it. And then up first, we're gonna have Debbie and the student scholarship winners introduce themselves.
Okay. I would like the scholarship finalists please to come up to the front, and I'm with the speakers, it can be very confusing. So I need Ashley Eisenmenger and Adnana Sarik and Gabe Stanforth and Aziz Ziyede to please come up front. And while they're coming up, I'll tell you a little bit about the NFB of Illinois Scholarship Program. We offer four scholarships each year, and students are chosen on the basis of their academic excellence, their leadership qualities or leadership potential, and their community involvement. They have to submit an application by March 31st, which is the same day as the national applications also are due, and we certainly encourage students to apply to both the national scholarship program and the state scholarship program. And students are also interviewed by a member of the NFB of Illinois Scholarship Committee. So they go through quite a rigorous application process, and we are thrilled to invite our applicants to introduce themselves to you. And also, would Sarah Wilkinson, would you please come up? Sarah is an alternate winner, so I would also like her to introduce herself. And because I feel sort of sorry for people whose last names begin with Z, because they're always at the end of everything, I'm going to start with Aziz, and Aziz, if you would introduce yourself.
Okay.
The mic is right here.
Okay.
Yeah, great. You got to come up.
I'm sorry, they can't hear you.
Yeah, so there's the mic right there. Yeah.
Okay.
And this and is the mic is sort of on the left.
Okay.
Yeah, you got it.
Hello, everyone. My name is Aziz Zaydia, and I am, as she said, one of the scholarship finalists. Oh, okay. Like this? There we go. There we go. And I am one of the scholarship finalists. I do thank the NFBI for reviewing my application and accepting me for this. I am a student at Northern Illinois University, currently majoring in communications, emphasis in media studies. And what that entails is basically work in the field of media, broadcast, film, production, anything that has to do with that. And what I'm looking to do with that is basically work for a organization like NFB or Lions and help spread the word in terms of people who are visually impaired and blind, and help support the community. And that's my goal, and I am hoping to pursue it starting today with NFBI and NFB as a member and a scholarship finalist. Thank you.
Thank you.
Debbie, let me interrupt for just a second. Did we miss anybody getting a lunch? Is there anybody that still needs a lunch? If so, stand up. Wave your hand, whatever.
I don't know if there's one down there for me or not.
Well, we'll make sure that the head okay. table gets them, but I'm not going to, we okay. won't deliver them up there.
Okay. Sarah, listen, we're working our way from the back of the alphabet towards the front, so how about Sarah Wilkinson? Would you speak next, please?
Hello. My name is Sarah Wilkinson. I also study at Northern Illinois University. I'm majoring in community leadership and civic engagement, and that is essentially, sorry. I'm studying community leadership and civic engagement, which is essentially the study of the nonprofit sector, and I also have a minor in studio art. What I plan on doing with this is I want to create my own organization centered around teaching new and different ways for visually impaired people to do art, as well as like providing art therapy to those who are going through vision loss and having to cope with that. So I thank the NFB for inviting me here and considering me as an alternate for the scholarship.
Thank you. Gabriel Stanforth.
You got to really get in close to the mic.
Okay. Hello, everyone. My name is Gabriel Stanforth. I am currently a freshman at the University of Iowa. I am majoring in biomedical engineering, and that goes towards helping improve medicines and medical devices and things like that. So I hope to use that degree to help others who might be disabled and need help with transplants and things like that. And so hopefully that'll go well for me.
Ednana Sarek.
Can you make your way over here? Oh, there's a ramp. Close to the wall.
There you go. You turn.
Can I be heard?
Maybe. A little closer to the
microphone. How about now?
That's better.
All right. My name is Ednana Sarek, and I'm in my second year of my master's at Adler University, focusing on rehabilitation counseling. I am also currently doing my practicum and internship at the Jesse Brown VA in Chicago. And I'm part of their compensated work therapy department, helping veterans prepare, work on different skills to get back out into employment. And I'm really grateful to the NFBI for choosing me as one of the finalists. I met Debbie years ago, and that was one of the best days ever. And since then, I've been involved in the Bell program and Freedom Link for a little bit. And I hope to get to do that again once school's done and time frees up. So thank you.
Thank you.
And finally, Ashley Eisenmenger.
Ashley?
Can you guys hear me?
Yes.
So I'm Ashley Eisenmenger. I'm a junior attending North Central College. I want to start by thanking NFBI for the opportunity to be here. This is my first convention and really my first exposure to this size of group of people with blindness and visual impairment. So it's really cool for me to be a part of this. I'm studying organizational communications, and I'm minoring in leadership studies. I'm also a varsity triathlete at my school, the first blind athlete in NCAA triathlon, so that's really cool. I do a lot of outreach with youth in sports and safe sports for visual impairments, so I know there are a lot of parents in the room and students in the room, and even if you're not a parent or a student and you have questions about sports and safety and vision loss, I'd love to talk to you and kind of share the resources that I have, but I'm just super excited to be here and grateful for the opportunity. Thanks.
So our scholarship finalists will become scholarship winners this evening when they are given their awards at the banquet. So I hope that most of you will be there at the banquet to see them get their actual awards. Thank you very much. I'll turn it back over to Katie.
Okay, up next, IABS does a Teaching Excellence Award. So this year we're giving out two awards. The first one is for Tracy Wilkes. She is a teacher of blind children from Riverwood School in Naperville. She was nominated by Christopher and Christina. Christopher's her student, and Christina is his mom. I'm going to read a little bit from their application, and if they would like to come up to say something, they're more than welcome to. After spring break of first grade, Christopher switched schools with no pre-Braille or cane skills, and within 2 weeks of being with Tracy, pre-Braille skills and travel skills began. With Christopher wanted to play the clarinet, she took summer lessons to be able to braille his music for him. And in fifth grade, she had the idea for so he can be able to participate in yearbook signing, which is a big deal for most people. So she went around and collected audio clips as signings for him. And so he could participate in signing other people's yearbooks. She brailled up his name so he could give it to other students, so he was actively participating in signing other people's yearbooks. Can I have Tracy come up here, please?
Good afternoon. I'm Tracy Wilkes. I have the privilege of being Christopher's teacher when he arrived at Riverwood School as a first grader. He is now in sixth grade and almost as tall as I am, which makes me feel old. I can honestly say that being Christopher's teacher was my privilege, and I learned a lot about myself as a teacher. I learned new skills in order to make sure Christopher could excel in the activities he chose. There is no doubt in my mind that I'm a better teacher for having met this young man and spending, how many years, Christopher? First grade, second grade, third grade, fourth, 5 years. We spent 5 years together working our way through elementary school. So thank you to Jeremy and Christina for nominating me for this award. It means a great deal to me. What I do is very important to me. I'm very passionate about my job. And it's just not often that we get the kind of thank you that you've given me today. I'm very touched. Thank you.
Excuse me. We also have another award. This year, it used to be that either teachers for blind children or adults were the only ones eligible to receive this award. This year, we changed it. So we also could include general education teachers who do an outstanding job going above and beyond what they have to do to help accommodate blind students in their classroom. So for this other award, it goes to Suzanne Hartman. She is from Wasco Elementary School. Her student is Thomas, and him with his mom Jennifer helped fill out the application. She taught Thomas in first grade, and it was his first year going to all day school. So his mom was a little nervous, like most parents are. And I thought she wrote very well what in the application. So I'm going to kind of quote her a little bit here. She said, "Ms. Hartman stepped up to the challenge and exceeded our lofty expectations. She remained patient and caring while adapting to Thomas's needs. Thomas grew to genuinely enjoy going to school. When Ms. Hartman would challenge him, would challenge him academically while nurturing him to be independent and responsible, which are very important things. She also helped Thomas gain a sense of pride because during indoor recess, she would encourage him to show the other children in first grade about his Braille writer and about Braille and how things are. And he helped them, the other children in his class, make Braille bookmarks with their name on it written in Braille. So if I could have Suzanne and the family come up if they would like.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is Thomas. Did everyone say hi to Thomas? I honestly feel like, first of all, thank you so much to Jennifer and Justin for this wonderful award. But honestly, the award truly does go to Thomas and his family. I am so blessed that they ended up at Wasco Elementary School, where I teach first grade. Truth of the matter is they are not supposed to be at Wasco School, but luckily ended up in our neck of the woods, and then our principal loves them just like everyone else does, and as you know, he's staying with us at Wasco, and he has his assistant with him, but honestly, it's been a journey because, like Jen and Justin said in the letter that they wrote, we were all very nervous, and it was his first year at Wasco, and the playground made us very nervous, but it was his second year, but first year, full day, but literally, we learned from Thomas. Thomas is an advocate for himself. He is one of the brightest students I have ever taught. The sky is the limit for him. He challenged me every single day, and what I love most about Thomas is at the beginning of the year, I wasn't quite sure if he liked me. I was tough on him, and every time I would call Jen, I'd say, ooh, I was a little tough today because I really want him to be the best he can be, and she said when he would get home from school, he would say he had the best day ever. So it just goes to show that, he likes the challenge, and he's an amazing kid. By the end of the year, he hugged me every single day and continues to do so even though he's in second grade. And this is why I teach. I teach because of kids like Thomas. He's an exceptional student, and I'm just so honored that you guys chose me. So I'm so honored. I have Thomas's little sister, Aubrey, this year, and just a wonderful family. So again, thank you, everyone. And Thomas, thank you. Have a good day.
For those of you who can't see, the teachers get a plaque with their name engraved on it, and so they have a little memory of their winning. Can we have another round of applause for the great teachers? Okay, up next, we have our NABS rep. As I mentioned a little in my when I opened, IABS is part of the National Association of Blind Students. We are the state chapter of that. So we greatly gain a lot of knowledge and insight whenever we have a national rep come from the student division. And this year we have Luke Schwink from, he is the NABS treasurer and from Kansas. And he will be talking with us next.
Hello. This time I won't make everybody get up and move around. Don't worry. Unless you want to. I have plenty of exercises we can do. So once again, thank you for having me. Thank you, Katie, for inviting me. And thank you. Is Denise in the room? Thank you, Denise, for inviting me. I am truly honored to be here and be a part, such a play such a big part in your convention and have the opportunity to talk a lot. I mean, that obviously means you don't know me well enough that you give me so much time to talk, because God knows what I'm going to say. this time I'd like to talk about facing challenges as a student and getting through those and just kind of the ride that it's not necessarily a speech about advocacy, but about just going through it. So a little background. My undergrad is in exercise physiology, and now I'm studying sport management and business administration. So the athletic community is a whole nother monster than anybody may realize on the outside. Most of the time, whether you're blind or sighted, most of us are just kind of acting like we know what we're doing until we actually know what we're doing. And one of the biggest things I've learned over the years in athletics, and I find this in life, and it may sound bad at first, so bear with me. If you mess up and nobody sees it, clean it up really fast. Now, you will mess up. There was one time I was working with the athletic training department, and I was carrying two 5-gallon jugs of water out to practice. And there was a bump in the hallway, and some of it went kersplat on the floor. But it was Saturday. Everybody was out at the track. So it took me about 10 minutes, a bunch of towels, scooped the ice in, and about, you know, I may have looked slightly incompetent because it took me half an hour to get water out to the track, but nobody knew exactly how much I messed up. Now, that teaches you two things. It teaches you how to fail, because as Joe was talking about, you're going to fail. You just need to learn to know how to do it graciously and how to learn from it. And it also teaches you to clean up your own mess. When we're kids, especially as blind children, people like to hold your hand, like to do things for you, but eventually in life, you're going to need to learn to clean up your own mess. So by this lesson that I've learned in athletics, if you mess up, don't let anybody know, just clean it up real fast, teaches you to clean it up, and you clean it up efficiently, and you move on. And, you know, you may feel like a bonehead, but after a while, you realize that there's probably other people who have spilled 10 gallons of water all over Charles Koch Arena. There's probably people who've spilled 20 gallons of water over Charles Koch Arena, but nobody knows about it. They moved on from it. So you don't need to dwell on your failures. Just kind of enjoy the ride. Now it's a funny story. I mean, it wasn't fun cleaning up 10 gallons of water by myself, but it's a funny story now. And now the lesson here is I know where that bump is. I will never hit that bump again. So you learn from your mistakes, and you just enjoy the ride. Now you will, there will be times where you mess up and people will know about it. In fact, most of the time. People will walk up and they might say, Luke, You've walked down this hallway 100 times. Why did you spill the water today? And then you have to learn how to advocate for yourselves. Now this isn't, like I said, this speech isn't just about advocacy, but it goes back to the point of clean up your own messes. Sometimes the mess is that you're in trouble and you're not going to have your assistant or your mother or your best buddy that knows about blindness there to help you explain. So you have to learn how to explain in a respectful manner, because most likely it's going to be your boss who catches you. It always is the boss. It's never a coworker. It's always the boss that walks in. And you have to learn how to explain why this happened, but at the same time it can be delicate, because you don't want to be viewed as incompetent because you're blind. You just want to be a normal incompetent. It's natural. One time I was working at the zoo, at the Sedgwick County Zoo, and back then I had enough vision that I could drive golf carts and the tram, because they let me do that because it went like 10 miles an hour. And I drove that thing for a year, and it had a tracking system on it. And it was there's a lot of tight corners in a zoo, so the tracking system, the two cars were supposed to follow behind wherever the cab went. So it didn't turn like a semi, it cornered a lot better. It was supposed to. A year I drove that thing. Then one time, the tracking system was off. And it had been off all day. The shift leader knew about it. I had told her about it. And there was a pickup parked on the side of the path. And so I go past the pickup, and then I cut it back over to try to get out of the path. And sure enough, the second car scrapes up against the pickup. Now, like I said, everybody knew that tracking system was off today, but because I was blind, because they found out, especially the higher ups, when they found out I was blind, it couldn't possibly have been the tracking system. It was because I was blind that I hit that truck, even though I'd been doing this for a year. So you have to know how to respectfully approach that. Now, I'll admit, I was 20 years old back then. I'm 27 now, so I probably didn't handle it the best. I was upset because I went into my boss's boss office, and they said that you can't drive the tram anymore, and it ultimately led to almost a willful firing. When they don't want to fire somebody, they just cut your hours down to like 2 per week, and of course you're not going to stay, and if I would have learned this skill that I'm trying to teach you to acquire, there was a better way I could have approached that. I could have said, I could have calmly stated, fleet maintenance had been out there. I'm kind of laid it out like an attorney would. You say, I've been doing this for a year. You can ask my direct supervisor, and she'll tell you the tracking system was off all day, and that's why it hit. And maybe even organize a obstacle course so I could prove to them that I was capable of still driving that train and that it wasn't my fault. But instead, I went into the office and I said, "You can't do this. I'm going to drive the tram. I can do that. I can do anything. I can do anything I want, anything anybody else can." And that ultimately led to my 2-hour-a-week work shifts. So you have to learn how to advocate, not just advocate for yourselves, but advocate properly for yourselves. It never serves you to lose your cool. There's always a better way. There's always somebody you can talk to calmly and concisely, because they're not going to want to sit there and listen to you. And you have to learn how to articulate yourself, how to explain your vision in a way that it does not present as a disability, just something that causes you to have to do something differently. So please keep that in mind going forward. You're going to fail. Learn how to fail and remember it. If you can keep it on the low, don't let anybody know you failed. And then it doesn't actually go against you. You know, sports, you have win-loss columns. It's not a loss if nobody knows it. So your record stays the same. And if you do get caught by the boss, who will always catch you, then learn how to present yourself as a competent, an acceptable level of incompetence that you'll inevitably experience as you go through life, in especially these younger years. I'm telling you, if you do an internship, you'll feel like the stupidest person in the world for about 6 months, and then eventually things start clicking. But until then, you have to be able to present yourself not as a disabled person who can't work, but just any other person. Because that's really, we're not asking to be above anybody else. We're not asking for anything unreasonable. Always keep that in mind. It's not unreasonable to ask for larger print or something in Braille or an audiobook. So keep that in mind. And always present yourself not as a child throwing a tantrum, but as a responsible, intelligent adult that is telling somebody what they need to succeed in their organization. And I don't like talking at people, so if you guys have any questions, just yell out, because I'm basically done. Okay, so I think I have like 5 more minutes. Does anybody have a time that they actually got away with something? I told you my embarrassing thing. I have a lot more, but I'm sure there's a couple things.
Luke, I need more than 5 minutes, so I'll pay you.
Well, that's why we give you a whole banquet speech, so you can tell us all about it. Can I just get one person to share something that they've done, whether it's because of blindness or not, that you were able to throw some newspaper over and nobody knew about it? Katie, let's hear from our student president, Katie.
And Katie, before you say that, can I get people to put their tickets on the table so that I'm not making noise in collecting these? Please, just put them on the table. We'll get them.
So one story that my mom likes to tell people is, so my first year of college, I was going to Southern Illinois University Carbondale studying architectural studies, and it's a very small program. And I was living and going to school with all the same people, and they all knew I couldn't see. I didn't like that because they treated me differently. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to pretend like I can see great. So I'm walking to class, which Carbondale's a kind of big campus. And there's lots of things, and people drive on the sidewalks and all this. So I wasn't using my cane like I should have been, and I ran right into the side of a Pepsi truck. You know those big Pepsi truck delivery trucks? Ran right into the side of it because I didn't see it. And I pulled my phone out just in case anyone saw me. I was busy texting. You know, that was why I ran into it. My mom always likes to tell that story to people whenever she can, because it just proves that even I make mistakes. So I've learned from then, you can't fake, you can't see, you just have to accept it, go on. So that's my story.
I'm telling you that the fake it until you make it policy is the best. Nobody will ever know if you act like you know what you do. Who, can you say your name? Amy, go ahead, Amy. Okay, after Amy, Joe.
Hello? Oh, hi. Okay, so I go to public school, and I use my cane, but I don't use it as well as I should. And there are always those people that, you know, you accidentally tap them with your cane, like, oh my God, she hit me with her cane, oh my God, laugh at your friends. So I was walking to gym class, and this was my last class of the day, and after this I had a job interview. I was getting picked up right away, and I had to go to a job interview. So I run smack dab into, you know those volleyball nets that have the metal things on the sides of them? My forehead hit the volleyball net, and my blood was spilling from my forehead. And someone was like, "Are you okay? Like, do you need help?" And I was like, "No." And like, I was fine. And I ran, and I was able to clean it up like right before the job interview, and it was all fine. And I managed like the whole way when I was going, I didn't want anyone to see me, so I managed to just, you know, go be calm, be happy, you know. So that's just one little example of, you know, it's really embarrassing because people around you think you can't, you know, travel and do stuff. So when you run into something, for everyone here, I'm probably sure you're all a little embarrassed. You're like, oh my God. So
that is very true. Thank you. Joe, you said you had one?
Yeah, since this is a travel theme, I'll give you my travel one. Back in 1983, I went to the rehab center of RP. I had to stop work. I was a blind shoe store manager for 7 years or whatever. But I had to give up work in 83, went to the rehab center. My first class that day was mobility. They gave me this short, stubby stick. We went outside. Mobility instructor said, "Can you see the light across the street?" So I tilted my head and blinked my eye and closed my eye and opened my eye and blinked my eye. Oh, I saw it go up on top. It's red. She says, "Correct. You don't need a cane. You can still see." So she said, "If you want to keep, but I'm going to go blind. So when you go blind someday, you come back and we'll teach you. You don't need it. Take the cane home with you." So I took this little thing home. It's stuck in the corner, whatever. And this is before I knew NFB. So I'm going, this is now about a year or two later, I started having a baking business, and I went to the store with my guide son. I didn't need a cane. I don't have a guide dog, but my guide son was 5 years old, and I walked to the store with him with my hand on his shoulder. Again, I didn't know any better. This is what I figured. What's the solution? That's the solution. So he and I did a lot of walking in those days. So I go to the store, buy what I buy, come back. I got milk in the bag and eggs and bread or whatever. And I look in front of me, there's a ditch. The guys are working on putting new pipes in. I says, "Joe, you stand here. I'm going to step over the ditch, turn around and pick you up." "Okay, Dad." Well, the ditch was a little wider than I thought. And down I went into a 4-foot hole. And to brace my fall, I put the bag in front of me. So with my body weight, the milk went flying. The bread was crushed. And the egg was all over my face. The workers come running over, and I'm on the ground, face first in this mud and all that kind of stuff. My body is shaking. They're like, I was laughing. They help me out of this big pile of mud and gook and stuff like that. "Are you okay?" "Yeah, I'm fine. And my 5-year-old son said, "Daddy, you need to use your cane." And that's what it was.
Now, everybody, keep in mind, this is okay. It is okay. It is completely normal. It's not just blind people who run into things. My wife is completely sighted. She consistently has bruises somewhere on her body. She runs into counters all the time. She runs into more stuff than I do. She runs into, and so does my son. And they've just gotten to the point they just bounce off things. So it's okay. It's normal to run into things. So don't, I mean, and it's normal to be embarrassed about it. Now, Joe, you kind of went above and beyond. But for the most, I mean, people run into things. It's natural. Don't feel like it's because you're blind. Don't feel like you're a weirdo. If you do run into things, other people do it too that have sight. You're no different than anybody else. So just go with it. Pull out your phone. Act like you were making an omelet, Joe. When you put your hand on the hot stove, don't worry, your reflexes will take care of that. Oh, I was going, he was whipping the eggs, he even mixed the milk in with it. Maybe it was a breakfast sandwich. French toast, hey. I think you're supposed to use cinnamon, not mud. But, but yeah, just know. I mean, other people do embarrassing things too. Equality is in your mind, I think, not anybody else's. If you believe yourself equal to your peers and your classmates, then you will be, and you just have to make other people see that. So thank you, Katie and Denise, for letting me speak, and thank you all for putting up with me for a while. And I'll be around if you have any other questions.
Parents who want to come down to the parents' meeting, conference room A, and you're saying now, right? Now. And Debbie, I'm
so while the parents leave, the students are going to keep going with the student portion of the lunch. Up next is an issue, as a person going to talk about an issue that is very important to students, which is accessibility to materials in the classroom. And especially with things, a lot of colleges and stuff going mostly online with stuff, and digital, that kind of creates a problem sometimes. So accessibility is just a big issue just overall for students. So our next presenter is from Pearson, and it is Rick Furry. So if you would like to come up here.
Oh, thank you.
I will give it over to him.
Hi there.
Welcome.
I actually brought a timer up front so I don't run over. I'm not as good as the other speakers who just naturally knew they were on time. Anyway, my name is Rick Ferry, and I am the head of Global Policy and Regulatory Relations at Pearson, which is not nearly as exciting as it sounds. For the purpose of today, though, my career at Pearson, I have always been involved with accessibility, either officially or not. It's something that, as my job and roles have changed at the company, I've asked to stay involved with it. So I'm very excited and thank everyone for listening. What I want to do is talk today about the accessibility programs that Pearson has. I'm going to go over a lot of information. Don't worry, there won't be a quiz later. I will make sure that you have my email address and contact information, so if there's anything I say that you want to follow up on or you need more information, you can get it from me. So Pearson is the world's largest learning services company. In every corner of the globe, if there's a classroom or some setting where learning's happening, we have materials there. And that could be print material, it could be digital material, testing, assessment. We're just a large company. We have 35,000 employees and hundreds of locations around the globe. And I actually don't know everyone, so just in case. Someone always asks me, do I know so-and-so? And I only know probably thousands versus 35,000. So we've had a long commitment to accessibility. It hasn't always been as evident or as good as we'd like it. We actually, just to bring up a painful memory, we were condemned and deployed by Dr. Maurer probably 4 or 5 years ago at the National Convention, and rightly so. And it had to do with the inaccessibility of some of our college materials. And at that point, I had had a different job in the company. And shortly after that happened at the convention, I got a phone call from the president saying, we'd like you to come back and help us with our accessibility program. So I'd say we've made huge progress in the last few years, and I'm gonna talk a little bit about the different progress we've made in the different areas. I'm officially the identified partner for our relationship with National Federation of the Blind. We have a signed agreement in place that Mark signed last year that allows the two organizations to work together. There are a number of things we do. We do user testing in Baltimore. We've been sponsoring the convention, the national convention. This will be our fourth year. And it's one of the things I'm most proud of at Pearson. I was able to convince the company to support that convention. And this is news hot off the press. Mr. Riccobono just renewed the agreement for another year. And so that, again, will allow the two companies to work very closely together. And I'm very excited about that. And I think one of the other things I wanted to mention today that has not been launched, but I can talk about it right now, is that we are launching a legal mentoring program so that all of the attorneys at Pearson, and we have hundreds of attorneys, work with most all of them, will be doing virtual mentoring programs for young adults with visual impairments who would like to learn about the legal profession. And we're actually going to launch that with the help of Mark Riccobono. He is going to be in a video with the head of our chief counsel, and we'll launch that program. So again, I'll leave my contact information. If you know anyone or you're interested in finding more about that program, let me know. So that's one of the things that we're working on with NFB. On our higher ed side, okay, yeah. And actually, I should say that if the legal piece of this goes well as a pilot, we're looking to extend it to some of our other career professions as well, because, you know, we do have a lot of professionals and it'd be a great outreach for us. So I think on the higher ed side, again, we are the largest higher ed publisher in the world by far. A lot of our programs that you may come across with in higher ed are My Labs, right, which are a combination of the actual content of the book plus test quizzes. And we have not always been very good at consistently adding accessibility features to those. In the last few years, if you have a newer version of one of those My Labs, they're pretty good from an accessibility perspective. But if you have some of the older legacy materials, they haven't been very good. So one of the things that I'm happy to talk about today is we've made a major investment starting this quarter, actually, and into next year. We're going to completely redo the platforms that the My Labs live on, and we're starting to make all of the content accessible, including the legacy material. So that includes, yeah. So, and it's a massive undertaking. It is going to take us a while, so I don't want you to think that suddenly tomorrow everything's going to be fine. But again, you'll have my email address, and you can always reach out to me if you have specific questions. So that includes captioning videos. That includes adding alt description to images and structuring the content. So I'm very excited about that. And I think sometime in the first quarter of next year, we'll be making an announcement about our global policy around accessibility, which will have a roadmap and a commitment to making sure that not only our products are accessible, that going forward, all of our products would be accessible, what we're calling Born Accessible, as being part of Born Digital. So I think that's really exciting for us. One other thing that we've committed to, and some of this might be interesting to you or not, we are committing to EPUB 3, which is a format that allows printed content to be packaged in such a way that it can be read by an e-reader or sometimes just screen readers. And we are actually going to move to producing EPUBs, accessible EPUBs, is just a par for the course. So if you went anywhere and bought a Pearson electronic digital book, it will be an EPUB 3. It will be fully accessible. So we're very excited about that. One of the things, too, that we want to, and we'll need the students' help with as well, is that there's still a lot of dependency in the universities and the DSS offices on PDFs. And those PDFs are very difficult to work with. But the problem is there's been a lot of process and experience built up with how to make those PDFs work for those students. So the EPUB 3 format is so much superior. And so I think that one of the things that we're doing, and again, you can reach out to me, we're looking for testers, we're looking for users who want to do focus groups and research with us so we can understand best how to put this material in the hands of the students and how to make sure they work in a classroom environment. So that's another thing on the higher ed space that we're very excited about. In our K-12 group, we've actually been pretty good on the accessibility side for a while, and that's actually where I come from, so I'm excited about that. We have a new platform called Realize. It's fully accessible. It's based on the WCAG 2 level 2 AA standards. We have a reader that is compliant and reads accessible products. We have some legacy material that's not good, but we're also in the process of redoing that. All of our math products have ML3 in them now, Math ML3. For those of you that know what that is, allows you to work with math. We're actually going through a process now where we're taking some of our video and flash-based materials in the K-12 space and making them accessible HTML. We're also partnering with the American Printing House for the Blind, and we're making tactile graphics. And those are not things that we're going to make or sell. These are things that other companies can make, Printing House for the Blind. We're also offering lesson plans for teachers that teach kids with impairments, that how to work and put the tactiles into the classroom. And then we've partnered with a company in Vermont called Easy LLC, and they actually have a tablet that allows you to do tactile worksheets. And so all those things are coming online for us next year. And again, please reach out to me if you are interested in further information or want to be part of piloting that. There's something called CharTML, which is also another markup language that will allow us to render charts and graphs so that they can also be accessible. And we actually have a couple of pilots, but our problem is we haven't been able to get any of the browser makers or anyone that works with the browsers to add plugins, which you need those in order for this to be enabled. So that's another area if you're interested in, because the math and science curriculum, both in higher ed and K-12, it gets complicated because even though there's standards there, it's very complicated to know how to render it and how to use it. So I think to the extent that you're interested in these things, if you reach out to me, we can put your name on a list for user testing. We're doing lots of user retesting, particularly in the math and science areas, because even though there's standards out there and we can say we're compliant to the standards, it may not work for the student, right? It may not be intuitive. And the only way that's going to get better is if we have people using it and showing us how that it works best in the classroom. We also have a company called Connections at Pearson, and it's the largest virtual school operator in the U.S., and Connections has a longstanding commitment to accessibility. For those of you who have any experience with virtual schools, I mean, they actually are the schools, right? So they have to provide the IEPs, the 504s, and so they've been working for a long time making sure their material is accessible. In fact, I didn't know this, I don't know why, until last week when I was following up with folks knowing I was coming here. Their accessibility statement was actually born out of conversations that they had with Mr. Riccobono and Ann Taylor, for those of you might remember Ann, who was the technical lead at NFB. And they're right there in Baltimore, and we do a lot of user research with them there. So Connections is our virtual school group, and also very proud of their accessibility. We have two big assessment divisions. One is called VUE. You may have come across VUE, and that's capital V, capital U, capital E. And that's where we do all the licensure, admissions, healthcare testing, so that if you want to be a nurse, you can go to VUE Center and get tested. And so one of the interesting challenges that VUE has is that sometimes we make and create the test and sometimes we don't. And we've had a lot of instances where, I'm not going to mention names, but the test provider or the test administrator does not want us to have certain technologies involved because they're worried about security. Unfortunately, some of those technologies can be screen readers, other devices. So we've been working really hard with NFB. And again, if you were ever a person that is going to be tested or taking any kind of licensure testing at a VUE center and you run into some issues, if you email me or you email Valerie Yingling at FB, they pass that information on to me and then I reach out to the head of VUE because we are also in the process of making sure that even if it's not our test, that they will be accessible or we'll make sure that the person getting their licensure or getting their certificate, and if they have accessibility issues, that they're still going to be able to get that test. So we're very excited about that. And then our assessment division does a lot of testing, both high-stakes testing, which would include things like SATs and PARC. The testing world is kind of an interesting place because sometimes we do the scoring, sometimes we do the content development. We have a lot of different roles on that. But the thing we're most excited about in the assessment side is we've developed an accessible equation editor, a math equation editor. And I can also get you a link to that so you can play with it yourselves. Essentially what it lets you do is with a refreshable Braille device, you can actually input into the equation or also have the Braille thread with your device so you can actually see what the equation as you're working with it. We're very excited about that. Our intent is once we do some more testing is to roll that out through all of our applications so that anyone that can read Braille can interact with the math just the way their sighted peers would in an online environment. So we're very, very excited about that. So that's just a highlight of some of the things that we're doing at Pearson. I mean, I think for me personally, I got involved in this years ago at the turn of the century. For those of you old enough to know, that wasn't that long ago. It seems like it. But I was working for a small company up in Boston, and I had a mentor at the time who was about to retire, and he said, before I retire, I want to take you to this place called CAST. I don't know if folks know CAST or not. But that's a place in Boston run by Dr. David Rose, and they were doing research at that time on how the brain worked, right? And I was so excited by the possibility of thinking if we could get the technology to work with folks that had these types of challenges, just think what the application would be from the mainstream. And because of my relationship with CAST, I was asked to be part of the National File Format Panel, which created the NIMAS and NIMAC, which are repositories for K-12, for accessible versions of K-12's instructional materials. I was part of, for many years, part of the NIMAS governing boards. I am now an advisory member to the Accessible Educational Materials Accessibility Center. That's a government-sponsored piece of this. And so even though my job has changed at Pearson, I'm committed to accessibility, and as long as they keep employing me, no matter what they say my title is, I'll still be working with accessibility. And I used to say that my goal one day at Pearson would not have to worry about accessibility because it'd be part of what we do naturally. It would just be yet another requirement that we just did through all our workflows and all our processes. We're not there yet, but we're getting closer. We have lots and lots of people, and if you reach out to me in their specific areas, I have a ton of people that wanted me to give your contact, their contact information, which we couldn't think of a logistical way to do that, but I'm happy to email it to you. We're not perfect at Pearson, and we know that you're going to run into things that don't work as well for you as you'd like in a classroom environment or as a teacher, but you just need to contact us, and we'll do the best we can to help you through that. Whether that's finding workarounds for you or additional things we can do to support to make sure that you can get access and achieve the learning outcomes that you want. So I used to say I was the part of my job is the Jiminy Cricket at Pearson. For those of you who know the Pinocchio piece, right? I run around saying, is this accessible? Every time, any meeting I go to, is this accessible? And I've been asked now to start an employee resource group for our disabled employees, which I'm very excited about. So. Even though it's not in my job description, I don't mind being the Jiminy Cricket of the conscience for Pearson and accessibility. And the good news there is I'm not the only one anymore. We have very senior people committed to this. We have very technical people and skilled people in major roles throughout the company. And from here on in, we should just have progress. And if you don't feel like you're part of that progress, all you have to do is reach out and we'll do the best we can to respond. And so I made it with 5 minutes to spare. So if there are any questions, I'm happy to take some. I have some cards with me that have my old title on them, but it does have the right contact information, which I'm happy to share with folks.
I have a mic, which means that I might get permission to go first. Katie, please. I wanted to mention that Pearson's scholarship this year on the national level went to the young lady that Joe Ruffalo was telling you about this morning, named Laura Atori. So we also want to thank you for that.
Oh, Patty, I'm so sorry. I was on my list and I skipped it. So you can yell at me later. Sorry about that. No,
hey, there's one you deserve kudos for. So. Yeah, you want to go ahead and give it, Rick, because if you would give your contact info for one thing, we have people on the stream.
Okay, and then what I'll do is I have a number of cards, which I'll leave with Katie if anyone wants. So only my mom calls me Richard, but somehow at Pearson it got Richard too. So even though I'm Rick, I know you don't know me if you call me Richard, but unfortunately my email address is Richard. So it's richard.ferry, F-E-R-R-I-E, and that's at pearson.com. And again, it's richard.ferry, F-E-R-R-I-E, at pearson.com. And I actually work in our Chicago office, which is in Glenview outside of here, and I live in Deerfield. And I will stay for a little while. I unfortunately can't stay all day because my 13-year-old is in a bowling tournament, and he will absolutely kill me if I don't show up to cheer him on. So thank you so much. I really appreciate the time.
Thank you.
We're going to take a little short break because one of the Teaching Excellence Awards winner would like to take a picture. So, and again, just plugging IAV's raffle tickets. I know not all of you were at Idol last night because there was a baseball game or something going on, I heard. so that $5 that you would normally spend at Idol could go to 3 raffle tickets and you have a chance of getting half of the money. So the more people buy raffle tickets, the bigger the winning is. And so we are selling those still, the drawings tonight at Banquet.
Now, Katie, you're just taking a few minutes. You've got more speakers, right?
Yes, we have one more speaker. They just would like to take a picture real quick.
And while she's doing that, I want to ask everyone to please, when you leave, which is not now, pick up your table. Mary Grunewald and I cleaned off these tables after this morning, and frankly, it looked like a, I don't know. Anyway, I'll stop there. I'll stop there, but we need you to clean up after yourselves. I'm not your mothers, except for one. Yeah, and she definitely has to clean up. I was picking up coffee cups and napkins and full glasses of water. Y'all believe I have good skills because you left all kinds of open water containers on the table. So, yeah. The expensive coffees you left.
All right, so we have one more speaker. He spoke earlier about, and he's from the Illinois Bureau of Blind Service, John Gordon. And he's gonna just talk a little bit more about the student part of it and how students can interact with the Bureau of Blind Services.
Okay, let's see. Everybody hear me okay? You guys, yeah, that's good, right? Okay, so hello, thank you for inviting me here. And you know, I will tell you that I never really get the opportunity to be around young people. So this is kind of refreshing. I was sitting next to Joe, you know, and I was thinking... Yeah, that was no slight on young people. No, it just really is refreshing. And, you know, I'm going to hope that you guys could help me a little bit on how we could, the Bureau of Blind Services, better engage with students. You guys probably, I'm assuming a lot of you already know about the Workforce Innovation and Opportunity Act. And the federal government has a lot of new implementing regulations. And one of them that I think will be very beneficial to a lot of you is we have to now spend 15% of our federal money on pre-employment transition age students. Those are, I think those are young people between the ages of like 14 and 22. And, you know, I think that's good. I do believe strongly that there is a lot of states out there right now who are just looking for ways to comply with the law. So they're going to take that 15% and they're just going to dump it somewhere. Not in a meaningful way necessarily. They're just going to dump it somewhere to say they are in compliance. We don't want to do that in Illinois, so I have already initiated and engaged some organizations in working, putting together some programs to help prepare young blind people in a better way. So, like I say, I'm hoping that most of you are working with counselors right now because the counselors are the key people in working with you to put together your plan and what your plans are, what you're going to do in the future. You know, I don't know a lot about your organization. However, it sounds like you do pretty well here in Illinois, and it's nice that you have your national correspondent here. I just want to put this out there that at our school, you know, we do have some facilities, and if there's ever a way that we could assist you, the students, along with NFBI in any type of function, you know, we do close down the school every other weekend, so that would possibly be an opportunity. If you guys ever just wanted to get together and do some organized events, you know, I'm just putting it out there. You could always possibly use the school. You and NFBI always have the opportunity to use our auditorium. I try to make it clear that we need to have a, you know, real open door policy to our, you know, consumer organizations and affiliates. So, but I really would like to know how we could better work with all of you as students and just young people, you know. Anybody have any, like the floor, ask me any questions or give me some direction? Did you say quit? Oh, that probably would be a great first step.
Quinn, did you need a mic? Sorry, you were loud enough. I thought you had one.
Well, thank you again for coming out here today to speak to all the students and to the NFB of Illinois. My question is the state of Illinois, specifically the Blindness Rehab Agency, able to use some of that money provided in WIOA to get students to some of the summer programs offered at the three National Federation of the Blind training centers? I work for Blind Incorporated. There's also Colorado Center for the Blind and Louisiana Center for the Blind that offers, all three of them offer high quality summer programs for youth.
Well, you know, I guess I would tell you this. I'm not sure, but I believe, just, you know, without having a bunch of information here at my fingertips, I would imagine, depending on the classes you were taking, like if they were anything to do with preparing you for the workplace, preparing you, I would say absolutely. And I think not only absolutely, I think it's a great idea because, like I say, I have been looking for some real, you know, good, effective ways of spending this money. I don't want to just throw it out to be in compliance. So if there is somebody, if whoever is the person who represents the students here, if I'm going to leave a card up here, or tell me who I could leave a few cards with, you know, or who I should get back the information to. But I will find out, and I think that's a great idea.
Thank you so much. And all of the programs, you know, Blind Incorporated and the other NFB training centers, all of our youth programs, the end goal is getting students ready for employment, whether that be, you know, them gaining the skills to travel independently to a job.
Yeah.
Whether that be, you know, I tell people, a lot of people I'll say that home management, they're like, well, how is that employment related? You know, you're going to have to be able to make your own meals. You're going to have to be able to get those everyday home management skills in order to be a successfully employed blind person.
Yeah.
You know, we also work with students on communication skills like Braille, using technology, and those kind of skills are all extremely critical when it comes to finding jobs.
Well, now that you know I'm with the state of Illinois, the summer program would be right around the corner.
Thank you so much for answering.
No, you're welcome.
Um,
I certainly appreciate your enthusiasm. I think it's really awesome of you, like, stepping up. In the past, just my experience has been when I tried to go to Blind Incorporated, I actually had to reach out to a different organization because Illinois at the time was saying, you know, you could go to the Lighthouse for the Blind or you could go to Ikerly Woods. You could go to Connections. You don't have to go to Blinding. But the thing is with that is Connections, it's only a few hours a day. It's only, you know, there's a bunch of different factors that go into it. Not saying that any of those programs are bad, but Blind Inc. and Louisiana Center and Colorado, those are full-on experiences. You have to live in those experiences and deal with them as opposed to going, getting a few O&M lessons for a few hours and then maybe missing a week. And, you know, I think that the importance of these centers is really underestimated, and I just think it's really good for everyone to consider what different people's needs are and just to look more into the centers and how beneficial they are, because I think a lot of people overlook that.
You know, let me just say one thing. I think I said it earlier. You might not have been here, but...
John, can you talk into the mic?
Yep. I just want you to know, just to make it clear once again, I definitely don't underestimate the value of those three schools, and I told you the only way I could get a better feel, and I have called Blind Inc. and talked briefly, I think, with it may have been the admissions manager. I forget exactly who it was, but yeah, I've been totally intrigued. In fact, I told you, you know, that's what I would like to model our facility after. I remember one day after first taking this job, watching a mobility class it was online. I don't know if I YouTubed. It was Colorado Springs. But them having a mobility class with students walking through trails in the mountains, and the instructor then saying towards the end of the video, you figure if we could get them to walk on these mountain trails, once they get down to the main streets in the city, that's like a cakewalk. I like that kind of challenge, though. I really do. So yeah, I will definitely look into that as a great possibility and really a great way to use our resources to invest in all of you.
John, I just wanted to say one thing to our students. If there's any student who desires to go to any of the centers for the summer programs, you should apply now that the applications are available to you. You should contact your DOORS counselor and let them know that this is your desire and why you want to go, and make sure that you fill out an application and you start the process. I should also either let Debbie or myself know that you've done this so that we can try to help you, if we can, get to a center in the summer. We're more than happy to work with John if he can find a way that you can attend Blind Inc. or the Colorado Center or the Louisiana Center, but you have to start and you have to make sure that you follow the process.
You know, and if I could just add one more thing to that. Yeah, if you communicate that to Denise or is it Debbie?
Debbie.
Or Debbie, either one of them, so they could follow up with me. Sometimes I think something's been accomplished just because I trust that my staff out in the field did what they are supposed to do, and that doesn't always happen. So, yeah, just please follow up, and we'll make sure that works out. It's kind of funny. I'd like to go to Blind Inc. for about 6 weeks. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the only way, honestly, that, you know, and I'm going to tell my boss one of these days, the only way I think I could get a better feel, like I say, I've done as much research, but I think it would be beneficial just to be able to go to the facility and just kind of get a little hands-on, you know, on what they do. But like I say, everything I've seen about it, you know, you have my endorsement. And just so you guys know, students, that is, any time that you would like to have anybody from the Bureau of Blind Services attend any of your events, please let me know, okay? Anybody got anything else? Yeah, I should just give you the whole pack here. Yeah, they're state issued, you know. That means no braille, black print, white paper. But yes, I definitely will. Hey, let me tell you guys just a little funny story real quick, right? So I always like, in my own life as a blind person, and I've been blind since I was 18 years old, so I'm 29 now, you know the math. Anyway, you know, and you know, when you're blind, you have to have a sense of humor, right? Because just a lot of funny things happen in a normal day. So I just wanted to tell you that I was thinking of Joe's story about his seeing eye son. One time I was on my way home from work and I stopped at the drugstore about four blocks from my house to pick up something. While I was in the store, I was getting ready to leave and all of a sudden something grabs the end of my cane. And I'm like, what the heck? All of a sudden my son starts laughing. He's about 9 or 10 years old. So he says, what are you doing, Dad? I said, I'm just getting ready to go home. He goes, you want to go with me? I'm on my bike. No, I don't think so. I got a sport coat on, my briefcase, a tie, right? He goes, no, Dad, it'll be really great. He says, here's how we'll do it. You stand on the pegs, put your hands on my shoulders. No, he goes, I'll stand. No, that's what he did. He says, I'll stand on the pegs and hold your shoulders. You just pedal and steer, and I'll tell you which way to go. We did it. And I think, I mean, we were close to hitting some things on the way home, very close, but we were laughing hysterically the whole trip. And, yeah, we did get home and made it alive. So, anyway, thank you, guys. I'm going to leave a stack of cards. Is it good right up here, Denise? I'm going to leave them. Thank you so much, everybody.
All right, so we are done. We need to clear the room so they can get it.
Isn't that beautiful?
Well, I wouldn't say it's exactly beautiful, Oscar.
Well, I would. Just look at it all. What a beautiful, junky mess of rotten, rusty, mangy, musty, crummy, beautiful trash. Oh, I love trash. Anything dirty or dingy or dusty. Anything ragged or rotten or rusty. Yes, I love trash. If you really want to see something trashy, look at this. I have here a sneaker that's...